What's going on, everybody? You listen to Seggy Station. This man has a nickname always out to say with no shame. Wednesday, October 20th, 2021. Hope all is well out there, everybody. Hope everyone's staying safe. Nick Seguin here. You listen to Seggy Station Podcast. I'm coming in solo today. As the NBA is back, we had two games last night. Six games on the slate for you tonight. 75th anniversary of the NBA season has begun. Plenty to touch on in the NBA after the Nets and Lakers take L's last night on opening night. Got some news coming out in the NFL. You got a Thursday night football game, which will be without Baker Mayfield, Browns starting quarterback. They'll take on the Broncos in Cleveland on Thursday night football. See if the Broncos can pull that one out. I'm hoping they do for not only my boy Chew, but so I can have a good beat finally. Finally got the sports betting up here, not only in the casinos, but online here in Connecticut. Sports betting legal in the state of Connecticut. It's almost too good to be true. Kind of wild, all the things that have kind of taken place here over the past couple years. And just to think of all the things that are kind of going to happen here going forward. Not only in sports, and what a great time to be alive when you're watching all these sports. You got the Dodgers saving their season with a Cody Bellinger three-run homer. The Red Sox losing yesterday, in which a game they could have been up 3-1. Probably should have been up 3-1. And they end up losing hardcore 9-2 in the ninth. Something I also think is wild about sports betting. The over-under on that game was 10.5. And it was all going to hit until the ninth inning. I think they scored, the Houston Astros did, 7 runs in the ninth inning to make it total 11 runs hitting the over. Wild bad beats yesterday for not only myself, but my brother. But hey, this is the thing. Mustard, shout out Mustard. All my friends, I think Rich had a couple of bets in. Not sure his panned out because he had the Lakers as well. Couple of shockers. Definitely makes sports a little bit more exciting, I believe, to watch when you're watching the sports in general, and now it's got a little bit more meaning to it. I think it brings a lot of excitement to somebody that's a big sports fan, following sports, talking sports. I just see a lot of people out here doing some wild stuff when their bets don't come through, man. Like, I think Rich said it best here on the podcast. If you're willing to make a bet and you're going to be upset with what you lose, then it's probably a bad bet. Right now it's time for Straight Talk. Brought to you by Seggy Straight Talk Microphone. It's always direct. Time to reflect. Appreciate all love and support for the podcast as always. Follow along on my Instagram or Twitter page at Seggy Station. Also got a live version of the podcast up on my Twitch stream. It's _Seggy_G. And still got the podcast out on a few platforms, Spotify, Podbean. Hopefully you get your podcast there. Try to hit up Rich. Try to hit up Raj. Seeing if anyone was around to come through, talk some sports today. Have not heard. So here I am solo. Looking forward to talking plenty of these sports that I saw yesterday, which have been absolutely wild. You got plenty of NBA tonight. And lots of interesting stories to cover up in the sports world. Looking forward to doing so today. Let me start with the Lakers, Russell Westbrook, all this smoke I've been hearing about my guy Russ. It's almost sad. I see Westbrook is trending on Twitter during the game, after the game. The dude can't even play a game without getting destroyed on social media. The issue I have with social media, the issue I have with kind of everyone, I saw Lizzo have a post on this, having basically an opinion, which I think is totally cool. But my biggest issue, basically, like she said these days, is that the fact that people have opinions isn't the fact that people have opinions. It's that people force their opinions on others. If you don't fuck with something, then you probably shouldn't. We're all having a human experience, and we all deserve grace and patience and understanding. And I think this is one of these situations with Russell Westbrook. I've seen Russell Westbrook do this before. He's now on his, what, fourth team, three teams in 3 years. It's the first time an MVP has been traded in three separate off seasons. You look at what happened last year with the Washington Wizards and Russell Westbrook. 15 games under 500, not looking like they're going to make the playoffs. Everyone talking about Brad Beal, Russell Westbrook blowing it up in Washington, and all they did was make the play-in tournament. Russell Westbrook averaged last season 22.2 points per game, 11.5 rebounds per game, and 11.7 assists per game, which led the NBA. He also had 38 triple-doubles last season. He's had 176 triple-doubles in his last seven seasons. The stats on the triple-doubles have always been diminished by Russell Westbrook, but the fact that Steph Curry gets a triple-double last night, I saw his first since 2016. Giannis close to a triple-double. LeBron close to a triple-double. Some guys can hit some shots. A triple-double in the NBA is not easy. Triple-double in any aspect of basketball is not easy, but particularly in the NBA, and I think that needs to stop getting hated on as much as it does. The fact that this man's able to do this at such a consistent rate, I think should be respected, not hated on. I also think that patience in regards to, here's a guy that grew up in Los Angeles, always wanted to probably play in Los Angeles, not only either for the Lakers, but did so at UCLA. Shout out to my boy Russ. And he's there playing in the Staples Center, first game, debut. I saw he was a minus 23. I saw he had the same amount of turnovers as assists. I saw he only had, I think it was 8 points, and absolutely struggled from the field. Shooting, I think it was 4-13. He finished up minus 23. I think I mentioned that. Not a great game for Russell Westbrook. They ended up losing the game to the Lakers, in which they're leading for basically the entire game, all three quarters, lost it in the fourth, 121-114. LeBron had 31-10, Anthony Davis had 30-10, Russell Westbrook actually only finished with 6 points. Well, I guess he finished with 8, he must have got another bucket, 3-12 from the field, 4-13, that makes sense. Yeah, not ideal. But Russell Westbrook has turned it around before, not only with the Wizards. We've seen this before with the Rockets when he joined James Harden, was kind of struggling there a little bit towards the end of the season. Everyone was talking about how he was looking like an MVP candidate. I believe Russell Westbrook was looking like an MVP candidate last season towards the end of the season as well, when he was on a run bringing the Wizards back into the playoff position, averaging yet another triple-double on the season. It's now his fourth time he's averaged a triple-double on a season, Russell Westbrook. Devin Booker last year in the playoffs, 24 years old, 251 days, joined Russell Westbrook and Kobe Bryant and Dwayne Wade as the only players under the age of 25 with a 35-5 game in a finals game in the last 25 years. Russell Westbrook did so at the age of 23, 220 days. Kobe, 22, 289 days. And shout out Dwayne Wade, 24, 154 days. That's some elite company. Looking forward to seeing Devin Booker get back on the court tonight. Looking forward to seeing Russell Westbrook get right with the Lakers, which is something I'm certainly not worried about when it comes to the Lakers. Certainly wrong about last night's game, as I had the Lakers minus 5.5, I believe it was. The Bucks plus 1, which hit. They took care of the Nets minus Kyrie Irving, which I'll get into in a minute. But I was certainly wrong about the Lakers. Get into a little where Seggy was right, where Seggy was wrong. I was certainly right here about Ben Simmons. Wow. This Ben Simmons situation is getting so wild to me. Talked about this here with Rich, heading back to when Ben Simmons did what he did at the end of the playoff run with the Sixers. Doc Rivers, Joel Embiid, everybody said what they said. At that time, I said, this man ain't going to be able to play on this team anymore. Ben Simmons, under contract, 4 years, $150 million or something, I believe. You hear Rich talk about it here on the podcast. You hear Chewy come in and talk about how he feels about Ben Simmons here on the podcast. Ben Simmons has kind of put himself in a tough spot here. Reports coming out of him now being suspended for their opener, which is tonight. Conduct detrimental to the team, showing up to practice, not even wanting to be there. So why is he even showing up is my point. Talked about wanting to hold out, trying to get his money. You're going to get suspended anyways, so you're not going to get your money. Showing up, you're trying to show up and get your money. You need to have services rendered. You're not doing that, showing up with your phone in your pocket, not wanting to play, and getting kicked out of a practice, not being pretty much part of the team at all. And basically, you don't want to be there. No one really wants you there. The whole situation is out of whack. The value of being able to trade Ben Simmons is going to be out of whack because I don't see him being able to get on the court. I don't see him being able to play a game with the Philadelphia 76ers. And Rich tends to disagree with me. I don't know what is going to happen here over the next week, couple days, as a lot of the reports are saying Ben Simmons is just not mentally ready to play basketball right now. Doc Rivers, Joel Embiid coming out, having to talk about it. At this point, Joel Embiid, quote, "I don't care about this man, honestly. He does whatever he wants. That's not my job. I'm only focused on trying to make the team better, win some games, play hard every night, and try to lead the guys that we have here. I'm not here to babysit." Well, when Doc Rivers is suspending Ben Simmons shortly thereafter, him basically saying his reluctance physically and mentally to engage with the Sixers since his return has been a consistent theme. I'm not sure what we're missing here, Rich. I tried to hit you up to come through today. I don't see Ben Simmons playing basketball for the Philadelphia 76ers. Even if he does play basketball for the Philadelphia 76ers, regardless of him bought in or not, I don't really see him helping the team right now. Because to me, you know, I've been dealing with this myself. When you don't want to be somewhere, things tend to rub off that way. And you might not realize it. I'm sure Ben Simmons doesn't really realize the way he's handling this is flat out wrong. You know, in Philly, in a tough market, fan base, I don't want to hear any of that. You know, I don't think this decision has anything to really do with the type of fan base Philadelphia is, whatever stigma we're going to throw on them. To me, this more has to do with Ben Simmons himself, the Philadelphia 76ers, and kind of how they feel about each other. And these things are all kind of coming to the surface here now with the season starting up, questions being asked about it. And I think I've been right on the money here. Ben Simmons and the Philadelphia 76ers is not going to be a thing. Let's see. Yeah, Russ. 8-4 assists, 5 rebounds, minus 23. Had Russ to make the first bucket, plus 600 odds on that. Didn't work out. Had Harden and KD to make the first bucket of that next Nets-Bucks game, I'm sorry. That did not work out as James Harden threw a lob to Nicholas Claxton. And there was also a lob in the Lakers game, which I told my brother would happen. He took Anthony Davis. It was to DeAndre Jordan. Bad beats. Pew. Let me touch on the Monday Night Football game because I was certainly wrong about that. Had the Bills. Wound up being a phenomenal football game, really. Tennessee Titans. Julio Jones, unreal toe tap catch. Derrick Henry, 20 rushes, 143 yards, 3 touchdowns. I mean, this is going to be... I'm going to have to take a second here and touch on Derrick Henry for this segment, and then I'll touch on the Bills. Derrick Henry, and I said this before, my brother told me this, so I need to give him his props. There is no other player that should be drafted number one in fantasy other than Derrick Henry. What Derrick Henry is doing right now is what he's been kind of consistently doing in this league over the past couple years. But I think it just goes to show his value not only to his team, but to fantasy football players, regardless if we're going to throw that into the conversation or not. It's reality. A lot of people are doing that. Gambling, fantasy, all that. It's life. Let's just talk about it. Derrick Henry, I think, should be in the MVP conversation. Derrick Henry is the first player to rush for 10 touchdowns within his team's first 6 games since 2005, when both Sean Alexander and LaDainian Tomlinson did that. We'll see if he's able to receive Derrick Henry any MVP votes. Todd Gurley, the last to do so in 2017, who received 8 out of a possible 50 votes. I believe Derrick Henry, if he can keep up on this pace, will receive MVP first place votes. He's got 783 yards, 10 rushing touchdowns through 6 games. The only other players to do that in NFL history are Rams' Eric Dickerson in 1983 and Browns' Jim Brown in 1958. The whole league's zigging and the Titans are zagging because this is his fifth straight 100-yard rushing game. Derrick Henry is guaranteed at this point, basically, if he's not getting you 100 yards, he's getting you close to 75 and a touchdown. That's 15 points in fantasy, and I've seen Alvin Kamara with a 6th spot. Saquon Barkley out right now. Christian McCaffrey, 6 games played since 2019. Derrick Henry is consistent. He's running dudes over. And he's the reason why the Tennessee Titans won this football game. I don't want to hear all this, oh, Josh Allen fell on his face and blew it. Why are they going for that? Duke sitting here the other night. Why are the Bills going for that? Bro, you're only saying that because you had the game going to overtime with a bet. Like, yeah, bro, I'm rooting for all the stuff I'm betting for too. But when it doesn't happen, I'm not then questioning why it happened in the coach, the play call. Josh Allen, 13 of 14 in his career on those type of plays, 4-1, 4th and inches, whatever you want to call it. Converted his last 10. So to me, it's a lock that he's probably going to get that. Didn't happen. End up slipping. Tried to go off the left side. Didn't go up the middle. Whatever you want to say. Yeah, there's some things to talk about with it. But Derrick Henry is the reason why the Titans are 4-2. The Titans won this football game, are in this football game, and going forward, I think Derrick Henry is going to continue to do what he's doing, which is he has the most 20-mile-per-hour rushing touchdowns in the NFL since 2018 with 15. Second closest is Saquon Barkley with 8. He's got the most yards after first contact than 29 other teams is Derrick Henry. He's got more yards after contact than any other running back in the league. And he also is leading the league in rushing by, I think it's almost 250 yards. He's got 783. I think Nick Chubb, who's on the shelf right now, next closest with 583, I think I saw. Maybe less, 563. I mean, this dude, Derrick Henry, deserves to be in the MVP conversation. Chewy said it here once on the pod before last season. I don't believe he wound up being in that, but with the records he can achieve this year, 2,000-plus yard season, back-to-back seasons, maybe breaking, I think it's Eric Dickerson's record, 2,150 rushing yards in a season, 28 rushing touchdowns in a season, LaDainian Tomlinson, he's on pace to break both of those with this extra game. And a lot of people saying, all right, the extra game, we won't be as excited about it if it happens in an extra game. I agree there. I agree with some of these records being broken in an extra 17th game would be a little bit asterisk worthy. But if Derrick Henry is able to do this in a 16-game season, which we've seen him run for 2,000 in a 16-game season, who knows what happens with Derrick Henry. I think it's possible that man will be in the MVP conversation. So we'll see if I'm right about that. I was certainly wrong about the Bills, and I did want to touch on the Bills because I was checking out, had my power rankings out before the Monday Night Football game. I had Bills in the 1 slot, Cardinals in the 2 slot, Ravens 3, Rams 4, Cowboys 5, Packers 6, Bucks 7, Chargers 8, right there with the Bengals 8-9. I guess I'll throw the Chiefs in there if I had to go 10 deep. I saw ESPN's power rankings come out through Week 7, Arizona Cardinals number 1. Kind of hard to argue that at this point, only remaining undefeated team in the NFL. Tons of weapons on the offensive side of the ball. Then they just add Zach Ertz, A.J. Green resurrected, Kyler Murray looking like an MVP candidate. Defensive side of the ball shown to be elite. I think the Arizona Cardinals deserve to be in that one spot as much as I would still argue the Bills. I wouldn't slide the Bills any farther than 2. Yes, the Bills lose that football game. They're inches away from winning that football game. Yeah, plays, football games, basketball games, baseball games come down to moments. Cody Bellinger, 3-run home run in the 8th. Moments in the game, like that Josh Allen sneak on 4th down, in which, yeah, if he converts that, I think it's a lock. Bills are going to win that football game, and we won't be sitting here seeing a lot of people's power rankings, the Bills dropping down to 9, 8, I see in some, 7, 10, whatever it is. Josh Allen completely out of the MVP race now because of that game. I don't agree with that. I think Derrick Henry's launched into it. I think Derrick Henry didn't get the respect he was deserving. Josh Allen had been. And when I go and look at the Bills now on a bye, three games after that, Miami, Jacksonville, and the Jets, to me, that's four byes. To me, what? We're in heading into week 7. So 4 weeks from now, I suck at math. Out of week 11, you're looking at the Bills looking like a 7-2 football team. Where that ranks in the AFC, I think, will be pretty elite. So I'm not worried about the Bills just because they lose one game. A lot of people calling it a trap game. I think Tennessee is a good football team. Pick Tennessee to win that division. And I would also argue that through week 6 of the NFL season, you could potentially say four divisions in the NFL are completely locked up. I think the Bills in the AFC East, the Titans in the AFC South. Funny how they just played each other. Dallas in the NFC East. I know there's some question marks about this Dak Prescott injury. I know what Keanu, whatever the hell this safety's last name is, DWI last night. You know, who knows how things kind of go here for the Cowboys, but they ain't losing this division. And I think a lot of people could argue I wouldn't the Bucks. And how easy their schedule is on the way out. And how things are kind of shaken out in that division also. I'd argue it's going to come down and be a little closer than a lot of people are going to think. But the Bucks schedule is certainly very light on the way out. And I don't think it's a hot take to say that through 6 weeks of the NFL season, you might have four divisions already locked up. And I throw the Bills in that category, even with their Monday Night Football loss. Mention the Bills on a bye. Titans heading to take on the Kansas City Chiefs. They'll be at home for that game. Should be a good football game to watch this upcoming slate. Let's see. I did need to touch on the Ravens, because I was certainly a little wrong about the Cardinals, but I'm giving them their credit right now where credit is due. I need to touch on the Baltimore Ravens. I mentioned I got Lamar Jackson as my MVP. I got the Ravens in my 3 slot for my NFL power rankings. And you go look at what the Ravens are doing right now, 5-1 record with 16 players on injured reserve, most in the NFL. The Lions have 14 second, and they're 0-6. Now, obviously, comparing the Lions and Ravens is not really easy to do when your coach is calling out the quarterback and the issues in Detroit still remain. Losing 16 players, I saw Roddy Stanley, the left tackle, is going to be out for the season now after getting surgery, picking up Le'Veon Bell, Devontae Freeman, all these guys that got in the backfield, Latavius Murray, it was off waivers, but most of these guys off their couch to go with Lamar Jackson, who is out here, I think, looking like the best quarterback in the league right now. You know, I almost wanted to call into the show Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, I like to talk to. They were talking about Lamar. And when I think of Lamar, I think of it in terms of Giannis as well, and I see this a little bit from Giannis last night. Rich has told me this before. I've been on the record agreeing with him. Not really as high on Giannis, but I think Giannis right now is the best player in the NBA. I think Lamar Jackson is the best quarterback right now in the NFL. MVP of the league because of this mere fact. Because we know what he can do with his legs. And we know that if you're going to go and say, who's the best paint scorer in the NBA? It's Giannis. But what if Giannis can make free throws or have as a jump shot? What if Lamar Jackson can throw the football? And I've always been on Lamar Jackson as a quarterback. Lamar Jackson can throw the football. But what he's doing right now is elite, where you can't stop what he can do, not only with his legs, but now what he's showing what he can do with his arm. With this last week's victory, he now has 35 wins as a starter, which is the most in the NFL before the age of 25. This dude's 25 years old. He's 35-8 as a starter, and he's doing so now passing for 400 yards as well, not just with his legs. But he's still rushing. I saw Louisville's going to retire Lamar Jackson's number 8 jersey, which is pretty elite. He'll join Johnny Unitas as the only Louisville football players to have their jerseys retired. Give this man respect. Stop hating on this man, how it doesn't look it right. Look the stationary pocket court, whatever we're saying. I don't want to hear all that. Because, you know, we don't say that about Pat Mahomes. And Lamar Jackson overcame is on the Monday Night Football game the week prior, his largest deficit of the NFL, of his NFL career, with 19 points down. So everyone's like, oh, he can't come from behind. Set an NFL record in completion percentage, 86%, 400 passing yard game, and a 40 attempt passing game. And like I said, now he's beating you with his arm and his legs. He's game slowing down for him, like it is for a lot of these third, fourth year quarterbacks. Kyler Murray, Daniel Jones, even though he looked very shitty this past week, but I'm not overreacting on that. With your offensive left tackle out, all your receivers out, no Saquon. I mean, dude, I'm just so sick of it, dude. And I know it just that what happens is the excuses keep coming. I just don't even want to talk about them. Like, whatever. Yeah, I know they suck, but like half my team's out, so it's like whatever, dude. Like, the Ravens. Lamar Jackson is elite. And I guess I was slightly wrong about the Cowboys, because I do think the Cowboys are going to run away with this division. I guess I'll touch on that real quick. I got them Cowboys slightly below the Rams. Cowboys right now in my 5 of my power rankings. But you almost lost to the New England Patriots. I mean, I don't want to hear, and Trayvon Diggs has been unreal. I saw that he had 2 touchdowns to Stephon's 1 until Stephon got 1 on the Monday Night Football game. I think they're now tied with 2. Because that throw by Mac Jones was terrible. And that was a wild game. Because that next throw by Mac Jones should have been picked 2, to be honest. And the fact that even got to that point in that game, if you're a Cowboys fan, okay, you end up winning those games. But going back to when you drafted Dak, going back now, what, a decade, whatever it is, you don't win that football game until this season. Defense looking better. The one question mark is everyone's talking about is Mike McCarthy, and is he going to blow you a game, time management? Most likely. I go look at the Dallas Cowboys, and it's tough to say that they're not a good football team, so I think it'll just come down to, for me, when it comes to end of this season, getting into playoff time, how many wins are the Cowboys able to accumulate to where they're positioned to wherever they're at come postseason time, and what do they look like come postseason time? Because I think the Cowboys have played an interestingly light schedule as well. This division, really not that great. And the Cowboys, to me, upper echelon when it comes to looking at the rest of the teams in this division, regardless of my looks on the Washington football team. Defense has been terrible. Eagles turning out to be kind of right about them, and I don't know what's going to happen with them potentially having 3 first-round picks in this next upcoming draft. Giants, I don't even want to talk about it, but we ain't competing with the Cowboys right now. As much as that hurts me to say, I'm going to be a realist about it. I do think the Cowboys will run into some problems. Maybe if it's not your coach, Maybe if it's not your running back, and potentially we'll see how that defense pans out against some good football teams. Those good football teams coming towards the end of the season, I think, are going to matter. And if I had to go and rank teams in the NFC, as much as I'm going to give a lot of these props to the Cowboys and the Cowboys fans for being all hyped about their team actually being good for once, I'm not putting you ahead, and I hate Tom Brady, I'm not putting you ahead of the Bucs come postseason time. I'm not putting you ahead of Aaron Rodgers. I'd struggle to put you ahead of the Rams. Got you just behind them in my initial power rankings, with the Packers and Bucks right behind. I think the Cowboys deserve a lot of credit. A lot of people got them ranked 1-2 in their power rankings, which I don't know if I agree with that. But let's see. Let's see how they get through the rest of this season. I saw Dak with an ask for help shout out on his wrist. That was pretty visible. The story with Dak and his brother. I like Dak. I don't want to see any of the teams in my division do well. So it's tough seeing any of these teams good. But the Cowboys are really good. And one of the teams got to make the playoffs. To me, it's just a matter of what happens when you get there. And I don't think I'll be picking the Cowboys too much come playoff time. I gotta touch on this Bucks next Nets game. And maybe I'll take a break, get a little organized, come back. I do have some reads that I've had for about 2 weeks, so they're old, but I'll give them to you. And try and get a few more bursts here. Had a little college football action. Coastal playing tonight. I wanted to shout out the baseball a little bit. And a few more other things to discuss. But I did want to touch on this Nets-Bucks game. Because Bucks are proven to be the upper echelon of not only the East, but the NBA. Giannis, Middleton, Drew Holiday, who got nicked up a little bit last night. This guy, Aurora, off the bench. DiVincenzo will be back soon. You got these other guys coming off the bench, Connington. I mean, their depth, their chemistry, bringing back their coach Budenholzer, 3-year extension, coming off an NBA championship, ring ceremony, banner drop. The Bucks are, I think, 3-4 spots in the standings ahead of the Nets. I know the Nets are talked about as still being favorites without Kyrie Irving, still being able to compete for an NBA championship without Kyrie Irving. I just don't agree with that. To me, last night watching that game, as much as I've talked here about this Kyrie stuff way too much, I still have an issue with it. I still think the Nets need Kyrie Irving. I still hope and pray that Kyrie decides to get the vaccine, because I want to see Kyrie play basketball. I do believe that coming off of Adam Silver's comments about the vaccine and getting not his responsibility to get Kyrie back on the basketball court, the fact that it's not between the NBA but between New York City when it comes to Kyrie, fine. Why is Bradley Beal, unvaccinated, able to come in to Madison Square Garden, Barclays, and play as an unlocal resident, which is okay to do at those facilities if you're unvaccinated, but not if you're unvaccinated as a local resident? Isn't that ass backwards with what I've seen with protocols? Like, you want the people that aren't traveling around to be coming in, rather than the people that are hopefully staying local and doing what they're supposed to do protocol-wise, even if they have beliefs that they don't want to get vaccinated. This is where I've lost all of it, with not only this whole craziness of people trying to throw the vaccine into political rhetoric, to personal choice, beliefs, all that, because I do think that as much as people are getting very negative backlash from that, that's still a reality. And these mandates that aren't consistent, in my opinion, don't seem to add up. You know, and it continues to just trickle down into effect, where I talked about Cam Newton now getting vaxxed, wanting to play football. Cleveland Browns, no Baker Mayfield for 3 weeks. I think that's a spot for Cam Newton. Pittsburgh Steelers, No idea what they're doing at quarterback next year. Maybe they'll get through this year with Big Ben. I think that's a spot for Cam Newton. I cannot believe Cam Newton's not in the league right now. And now he's vaxxed. Kyrie, if he decides to get vaxxed, will be able to play in the NBA. But that is a choice for Kyrie to decide. And the fact that these mandates don't allow him to play, but other NBA players outside of the jurisdiction of New York, unvaccinated, can come in and play. I just don't understand that. I really don't understand that. For Kyrie's sake, for everyone's sake, that to me makes absolutely no sense. To me, we need to be more universally and consistent with this thing if it's going to get cleaned up. And it's not until then, in my opinion. And you're going to continue to still have these situations. You're going to have Washington State football coach fired because he was refusing to get the vaccination along with four assistant coaches. Complete turnover in coaching staff because of the vaccine. Sometimes where you work, there's certain mandates and you need to abide by them. But there's no mandate in the NBA to be vaccinated. Adam Silver has already touched on that. And to me, these New York mandates don't make any sense. This is an unfair look, not only for the NBA on Kyrie Irving, but on all these people talking shit on Kyrie Irving. You know, it's just wild to me. I'm going to take a break after this. To see all the words, people just want to twist words all the time and make them feel better about themselves, make themselves look good. It's a real problem, man. It's an issue in society. On top of all the things going on with the vaccines and opinions and people hating and showing no love, because we always want to sit out here and preach love and togetherness. I at least do. I think as what I see from growing up, I don't know, maybe things are different now. Maybe we don't live in this togetherness, love, and we just want to do all this blaming and separating. But I don't know, to me, maybe that's where I owe a lot of credit to my parents, in which I'll always try and treat people the way that I want to be treated, show kindness and respect, be caring, help any way I can, and genuinely probably care about others more than I care about myself. But I think that's instilled from an aspect of youth. And sometimes with all these hard times, all these bad things that I see, I do get a positive uplift thinking about how much what I'm doing now, sitting here podding, talking about sports, running into people at the dump saying, oh, you're still talking about sports, running into people at where I used to work, wherever, where I work now, my brother's friends, talking to me about sports, wanting to kick it, talk about sports, to all the things I've done with sports in my life and all the sports memories that I've seen, just not only live games, but watching games on TV. You know, thinking about all this hate on Russ and he's out here playing his first ever game for his home, pretty much his home area. The amount of pressure with all the slander he gets, I can only imagine that. It is crazy to me how these guys can overcome all this extra noise, not only in sports, but just the general public, where I think there's none of that appreciation for what other people are going through, man. And I've learned that I'm not the only one. I used to think I was. I've learned trying to compare your situation to others is not the right way, because everyone deals with things in their own way. And all I know, I've grown so much, even though, you know, I might not be doing any better. You know, I'm feeling a little happier, but it's still always going to be there for me. I don't know how that's ever going to go away as I continue to get tatted up and talk sports and try and continue to teach golf, do things, you know, that make me happy. It's sad when things are like they are. You see the things you're seeing, and then you have personal tragedy like you do. I saw a family friend who lost their mom now 10 years ago. I think it was a day or two ago. Shout out to the spots. Used to spend so much time there as a little kid. Just remember all those times with my family, their family. Seeing her post about it, seeing how much time goes by, seeing how she's able to provide those very dark and tough thoughts out intellectually, for other people to hopefully learn and grow or take anything they can from that, I think is things that are overlooked. A lot of these times I love coming in and talking about sports and sports topics and all the things that go on in sports, and people want to say, well, don't bring politics and the vaccine into sports. Well, fine, I try not to do that as well, but it's a part of sports right now. And then to take it a step further, I see stories like Denver Broncos, Chewy's Denver Broncos, Justin Simmons, with another individual named Justin Simmons passing away, and how that affected him. I see Dickie Vitale, been with ESPN since 1979, announced he was diagnosed with lymphoma yesterday or the day before, when he's raised $263 million for the Jimmy V Foundation. And Craig Sager, and the list goes on and on for me of these sad, touching stories that almost bring me light as well, because it reminds me of the sadness I've been through and trying to get out of that, mainly alone, mainly through a lot of adversity. And regardless of how anybody feels about my sports takes or how I feel about mine and how much I enjoy the passion of talking sports and sports themselves, there's so many other key things that I feel like I would love to talk more about, and I just feel like I can't talk about. And so I resort to more sports and talking sports and bad beats and all that. And it's cool, but thoughts and prayers to Dickie V and his family, man. Breast Cancer Awareness Month right now is always a tough one for me. My mom's birthday here right around the corner, 27th of October. It's definitely a tough month for me, with everything I got going on right now, transitioning jobs and trying to figure my own stuff out. I've been growing and learning from that. Talking to my former boss on the phone a little bit yesterday, got to stop by and pick up a club. Just being able to kind of get through those steps will be crucial for me. Just going forward, knowing that, yeah, it is a mutual thing here. And maybe going forward, not only in the sports world, but in the everyday world, people just try and show up a little bit more compassion, because you just don't know what people are going through. Anybody can come out and put on any of the fake shit, but to me, it's you get the most real of a person when they're in the confines of the most normal confines of their environment. I don't know if I explained that right, but sports have definitely been something special to me my entire life, and I think that's why now I find this passion to always have wanted to do this, to find the energy and the confidence to come in and talk a little bit about these tough topics, talk a little bit about sports, and have some good insight. Others bring it as well. I don't always have it. I'm certainly wrong about plenty of things, but I don't think it's about always being right. As I mentioned the other day, I think it's about getting it right. As I mentioned the other day, tough times don't last, tough people do. I try to act like I'm very tough. I'm not, but I know plenty of people that are, and that gives me a lot of strength as well. And just shout out to all the people that have shown support to me along the way, with not only my podcast, but just checking in on me, wanting to come in and talk a little sports. I'm hoping to get a few first-time guests here on the pod shortly, some other returning guests here back on the pod shortly before I kind of kick back up and get used to a newer schedule. It's all been good. I did want to touch on some college football. Coastal's playing tonight. I did want to touch on a little bit of baseball. I got a couple of takes on that. And I did want to throw in a couple of blank of the fields on the way out. Be right back in the Sega Station. Hey, what's going on, everybody? Welcome back to Sega Station. It's brought to you by Callie's Love. A man's best friend is his dog. Shout out to Rescue Mutt to many, but a life-saving companion to me. To me, nothing but what's true, home, happiness, and a household, but a loving companion of a pet. Especially at a time like this, get yourself a little pet friend like mine, your local animal shelter, pound, and nursery. Save their life, and they just might save yours. Now it's time for your Sports Center update. Talked a little bit about the Lions, man. Dan Campbell, Jared Goff. I saw Calvin Johnson said the Lions need to pay him $1.6 million to repair relationship. He was honored Sunday, a few Sundays back, as the fans booed the 0-3 start. Lions, only a unbeaten team, only team to not win a football game in the NFL. I don't know if I'm saying anything right today. We'll see if Calvin Johnson gets his $1.6 million. You certainly should pay the man. I saw a few weeks back now, this is old reads, U.S. gymnast Simone Biles, Michaela McCaney, Allie Kainsman, and Maggie Nichols testified at a hearing on the FBI's handling of the Larry Nassar investigation. Shout out to U.S. Gymnastics for doing so, and shame on the FBI for handling that investigation the way they did. Rich says he might be able to stop by and say what's up in 30 minutes, so try and send him a link after the reads. I saw Emma Raducanu defeated Layla Fernandez 6-4, 6-3 to win her first major, becoming the third female teenager to win a U.S. Open without dropping a set. Daniil Medvedev denies Novak Djokovic a bid for his calendar year Grand Slam with a 6-4, 6-4, 6-4 win for his first major. That was definitely a few weeks back. I saw history made as the NBA team hired a female broadcaster, Milwaukee Bucks. Lisa Beington is the first full-time play-by-play announcer for American men's sports in history. Shout out to the women. Shout out to the WNBA Chicago Sky. Kalia Cooper. Candace Parker. The Chicago Sky with their first WNBA championship in franchise history. Rest in peace to Soldier Field. The Bears have signed a purchase agreement last week or a few weeks back for Arlington Heights, as it looks like they'll be building a new stadium and moving. We'll see how that works out for the Bears and how the rest of the season works out for the Bears after a tough loss to Green Bay at home this past week. Aaron Rodgers still owns you. Let's see. I saw the NFL halftime will be produced or done by Dr. Dre, Snoop, Kendrick, Eminem, Mary J. Blige, 43 Grammys, 19 number one Billboard albums amongst those individuals. Should be a good halftime show. Shout out NBA Top Shot, who are now in their second year of activity. They had, according to reports, 805.1 million in total volume, 13.64 million in transactions. 1 year of market growth reports. And I also saw Manny Pacquiao retirement, 62-8-2, with 39 KOs, only 8 division world champ ever, only boxer to hold a world title across 4 decades. A lot of things happen in the sports world. Tried to catch up on some there. Try to pause this recording. All right, so I got to touch on this. Rich says he's going to try and swing by in about, 20, 30 minutes or so-ish. Hopefully he makes it so I can get him in for a little bit without having this too long for everybody, but at this point I don't really care. Did want to touch on, as I mentioned, baseball, college football. Got to make some NFL game picks, which I haven't been doing great on, but hopefully a little better this week, give you some good beats. And Rich, hopefully he'll be here. We'll touch a little NBA and I'll be out. But before I touch on college football, I need to touch on, I got it down as Xander Kane, but it's not. It's Evander Kane in the NHL. Because you got the NHL back on ESPN. Shout out the NHL being back on platforms. 1,000+ out-of-market games. A lot more hockey into the actual viewers, or for the actual viewers to be able to see. It's kind of cool. That was kind of my always knock on hockey. Like, I'm not paying as much as I'm paying for the Red Zone and League Pass and all this other stuff when I'm not really the biggest hockey guy, when it's not really on. Well, it's back on. So shout out hockey for doing that, giving not only hockey fans the adrenaline to be able to watch their sport, but sports fans to be able to check in on your sport. I was checking in on your sport when I saw Evander Kane suspended 21 games for virus protocols. And I'm like, damn, dude, that's harsh. Right, I think what's really interesting when I'm looking at and still talking vaccine with the NBA and protocols and COVID with the NBA and NFL and MLB, we saw with last year in the World Series, with that now coming up, it impacted by a situation with COVID-19. NHL certainly impacted. NBA with the bubble. NFL obviously still dealing with COVID issues weekly. Damian Williams, I believe, was I picked him up on my fantasy squad. He was out with COVID. Yeah, there's players that are getting COVID weekly. Whatever. The protocols are so different. So I'm seeing this in the NHL. I'm like, damn, dude, this dude broke protocols. 21 game suspension. That's, damn, you might as well just get the vaccine. Bro, this dude had a fake vaccine card. And coming off of all the emotional rhetoric of personal and societal stuff before the break, let me just say that if you get a fake vaccine card, I think that's the absolute weakest thing you can do. Because in my opinion, and I said, Rich was saying this the other day, you would just be getting that to be able to do things. Because I've talked about that here before as one of my reasons to get it. I didn't want to be left out of not being able to do things where you need a vaccine in order to do them. So clearly, if you're getting a fake vaccine card, similar to you getting a fake ID to be able to go into a bar, you're getting that to be able to go into a bar and to drink. So you're getting your fake vaccine card to be able to use it to do things. That is such a fucking weak ass move. I never had a fake ID. I'm not going to come in here and judge people for having a fake ID or talk bad on you for having a fake ID. Do you, man. I'm all about people living how they want to live and do them and keep it 100 and just not be hating. That's what I'm about. But this, to me, is so far from 100, so far from even having a fake ID. This is a fake vaccine card. Like, people, I knew this was going to happen. I heard people talking about this. Seeing an actual athlete impacting with this situation, to me, 21 games isn't enough, man. You got to set better precedent if you're not only the NHL, but as a professional sports league for a dude flashing a fake vaccine card. That should be if you're the average person flashing a fake vaccine card, I wonder what the actual stipulations would be if you got caught with that. If you get caught being the person handing out the fake vaccine cards, I assume that's punishable by prison. I would just hope so. So for the NHL to be able to, and I see all these situations come up, like the one with the Washington State football coach, Nick Rolovich, refusing to get vaccinated. We've seen it all over sports, man. It's not just Kyrie. It's all over sports, and it's not just in sports, too. It's in all other industries. People dealing with these decisions and people getting talked about because of the decisions they make based on the decision they make. And whether that's fair or not, and whether people are going to talk more negatively than not about them, I think weighs on some people. It weighed on me. We'll see if it weighs on Kyrie. Or it might not. And that's another thing that I find interesting with this whole situation as well. Because God forbid Kyrie decides to get a fake vaccine card and is able to produce that to the NBA, and that somehow got found out about. Would the NBA suspend Kyrie for 21 games? I don't think so. I think Adam Silver would be a little bit more harsh than that. So to me, this ends up being a bad look on the NHL as much as it's been a good look that they're back on ESPN. All right, enough vaccine protocol COVID talk, because realistically, I really don't checking on it. Like I used to when it first started out, for sure. Spending a lot of time with my neighbors, watching the news. No longer doing that. Shout out to Joyce and Dave. You know, I still have, I don't know, caution of COVID, I guess is a good word. I wouldn't say I'm as scared as I was. I still wear my mask pretty much everywhere I go, even though I'm double vaccinated. I don't know. Like, I think that's funny because some people look at me like I'm not vaccinated because I'm wearing my mask everywhere I go. In some places that you're not required to wear it if you're vaccinated. And it's just like, yeah, dude, whatever. I'm just doing me. Like, I don't know, bro. You don't have to look at me or ask me if I'm vaccinated. Because if you do and you're like, yeah, and I'm like, yeah. Are you going to believe me? You're going to be like, yeah, show me your card. And if I do, you're going to be like, is that fake? Like, it's just wild to see where this shit's at. It really is. I got to touch on college football, though. Coastal Carolina's playing tonight. I've had a bunch of bad beats. And not only in college football last few weeks, but I had the over in the Auburn at Arkansas game, 54.5, which was wild. You go and got to look some of this stuff up. The Kentucky plus 21.5, which if you're a sports fan and turn on SportsCenter at all this weekend, you know what I'm talking about there. And I got Coastal Carolina minus 3.5 to cover tonight at Appalachian State. Coastal coming off a bye, 6-0, ranked 14th in the country. Shout out Jackie Livingstone, one slot behind Notre Dame. Interesting. See how that stuff turns out. Bama with a loss, looking like I'm trying to get my brother's girlfriend's sister, who went to Alabama, here on the podcast to discuss that hopefully next week. That should be interesting. But now it's set up. Alabama's got to win out, right? And to me, that's not really good for college football when if Alabama, say, loses to Georgia in the SEC championship and is not in the college football playoff, I think it's wild to say that Alabama, regardless of the fact that they have flaws, a young quarterback, some of the things that they're dealing with in the beginning of a season, and you end up losing a heartbreaking game to Texas A&M, should not be allowed in the playoff. And I saw Iowa, ranked number 2 for the first time in 36 years for all of about 30 seconds because they were upset by Purdue 24-7, no contest really. I saw Cincy get the job done and move up to number 2. They were ranked number 3 the week prior for the first time ever, and shout out to Cincy finally getting some respect. But they have not always gotten respect, and they basically had to go undefeated 3 years now in order to get that respect. Shout out Desmond Ridder. He's got a pretty cool story. He's got a child. You know, I like Cincinnati for sure, and I hope they make the playoff. But if Coastal Carolina goes undefeated regardless of schedule, if any college football team goes undefeated, why would they just not be invited to what would be the playoff? I think there's ways you can go about expansion without raising as many, getting people as angry, whatever you want to call it. If you're undefeated, you get in. You're always wanted to be, okay, you got to be undefeated to get in. Fine. Then let all the teams that are undefeated in the FBS get in. And, yeah, maybe we'll get blown up by Bama or whoever we got to play in the first round if we're Coastal. I'm cool with all that, man. I'm more trying. I see 5-6 schools requested to join the ACC after a few teams now are leaving the ACC to go to the Big 12 after all these movements from the Big 12 to the SEC and all these conference movements. And that was just this past off season. Now they're playing a season. Who knows what's going to happen when the season actually ends. I don't see Coastal in that conversation. I'm kind of disappointed with that because, in my opinion, the fact that we've been ranked now 2 years in a row, regardless of how our other sports teams are, our football team is in the conversation with some of these other teams, like Cincy, like UCF, like some of these teams I see biting to get into these other conferences. Coastal's got to get in there, man, because if that's the way college football is going to have this shit set up, the only way you're getting in if you're Coastal is if you're in a different conference, in my opinion. So we got to try and play a different conference, try and play a little bit tougher conference, show we're elite, even though we're probably going to lose the likes of Likely and Grayson McCall to the draft in the NFL, because I think we got NFL draft talent at Coastal. I saw Oklahoma State's kind of legit. They're now 6-0. Could they be the Big 12 champion? They trailed 24-13. They scored 19 unanswered points, and they did so against Texas, who was 25 in the country. Unreal back-to-back losses for Texas. Show a little love for me there. Steve Sarkisian's not it. I saw Jaylen Warren in this game. 32 carries, 187 rushing yards. Fourth straight 100-yard rushing game. I believe he had 3 TDs in that game. Cincy, as I mentioned, they won their game 56-21 over UCF. 176 yards and 4 TDs by their running back in that game. Kentucky versus Georgia, talked about it, 30-13 final, made the spread, blah, blah, blah. Florida versus LSU. LSU and Ed Orgeron going to part ways. Very interesting stuff here because basically if just 18 months removed from a national championship, if the SEC's got a problem with what you're doing, they'll sell your house right from under you. Edo pretty much had the caught lightning in a bottle situation with Joe Burrow and basically one of the best college football teams we've seen and won a national championship and probably will never be able to do so again. I know Boosh joking around saying he'll get the UConn job. Maybe that would be a good job for Coach O. Because getting any of these other big-time jobs, I just don't see it. But I do think it's kind of wild. You're going to talk about LSU and Ed O, and you got Dan Mullen down at Florida, who he just beat 49-42, did Ed O, and they're both 4-3. And Florida's talked about as a team that could be in there. And you know, I'm not saying Coastal is going to beat teams like Florida, LSU, any of these teams that I'm naming right here. A lot of elite AP top 25 talent. As I mentioned, Iowa, they got beat, but it was the first AP top 2 team to lose at home to an unranked team since 2014. There's been a lot of different parity. 40th AP top 25 team to go down. Through 7 weeks of the season was last week. There was a couple more that went down. That number is continuing to grow. It's the most in college football. There's a lot of different parity in college football now. I think you just got to invite most of, if not all of them, to the party. That's just the way why I feel about it. College football's been pretty good, though. I'm not really the biggest college football fan, but I've been – I think maybe that's why, because I'm not usually around on the weekends, and I'd rather watch football on Sunday, so I'm not – on the weekends, I'm not really worried about Saturday. being around a little bit more on Saturday now. They got some good college football slates, and they set it up pretty decent to where you can watch some of these games, and if you're betting on them, definitely have some excitement. So shout out to CT for getting that done for real, because I was bitching about that on the pod for a minute. To see that go through, that was one of the Seggy rights I'll certainly be happy about here for a minute. I'm still on the fence I'm still on the side where these other states that's not going down, just what are we doing here? Let's just get it in all states here. What's good? Rich is hopefully here soon, so I could ask him a few things. Touch on some college football. I'm going to go through my phone and just start getting through some stuff here. Touch on some college football. It's been pretty good. Shout out Coastal. College basketball preseason AP poll came out. Top 10. You got the Gonzaga Bulldogs at number one. I saw Mark Few. Well, I think he had, what do you have, like a DUI or something? Pretty sure. So we'll see how that works out. I saw he's won. Yeah, here's the note I have on it. I've been saving this to talk about Gonzaga. Mark Few, he's won 91%. 91.3% of his games in the last 4 years. We all saw what Gonzaga did last year, which was go 31-3 and epically lose after Jalen Suggs made that unreal shot to keep them alive. Did they lose to the UCLA Bruins, who are ranked number two and have Gorgie Jiang coming back? Got Mick Cronin out there, who's an elite college basketball coach. I am pumped for college basketball because I love NBA, I love college, and I talk a lot of smack about college football. I'm coming around to it slightly. Hopefully, if some of these things can come through, mainly name, image, likeness, college football expansion, I can already check one of those off the box. College basketball, I've always been a big fan of, man. March Madness, one of my favorite things in a sports year. Watching college basketball in terms of since I was a little kid, being a fan of UNC, being a fan of UNC-Duke rivalry, college basketball rivalries, Jay Billis, Dickie V, who I mentioned. Shout out Dickie V. Wild stuff in college, though, with name, image, likeness, not only involve a football, basketball, transfer portal, all the things. Gonzaga, I think, will still be elite as long as Mark Few doesn't get fired or hasn't been fired. I don't think he has. I think he hopefully has gotten his things under control. He's got Chet Holmgren, who's like literally the next up-and-coming Kristaps Porzingis, hopefully better than Kristaps Porzingis type of player in the NBA, unicorn style. Mention the Bruins. Kansas Jayhawks are always elite. Villanova Wildcats, Texas Longhorns rounded out the top five, which is interesting to me. Texas, I think they still got Shaka Smart, maybe. I mean, I'd have to do a little more research here. Michigan Wolverines, who shout out to not only Michigan State in college football, but Michigan in college football as well, are ranked sixth in college basketball. Purdue, who just took out Iowa, is ranked seventh in college basketball. Baylor, who's doing some very good stuff in college football as well. After a very good season last year by the Bears, winning the national championship. Duke Blue Devils, Kentucky Wildcats wound out the top 10. Good to see John Cal and Kentucky still in the top 10 with all this competition in college basketball. But certainly looking forward to that. Can't say I disagree with any of that because I'd have to do more research on it. But that will be coming up quicker than you think with Halloween just, 10 days away from tomorrow. Fall literally in full effect. Snow here before we know it in the Northeast New England area, which I am not looking forward to at all. And, yeah, college basketball season is always going to be pretty elite. All right, I'm going to chill on the bell because hopefully Rich is here in 10 minutes or so. I'm going to text him, actually. And I'm going to then come back.
First thing I'll say is because I love fantasy, I love DraftKings, I like all this stuff. Weeks like 1-6, and last year it was nice, not because of COVID, but just how the schedules went. Weeks 1-6, I'm like so into football. I know all the matchups. I know, like, who I want to play that week in DraftKings, like, what are the good plays in fantasy and everything. I'm, like, ready to go. And then the second NBA starts, I don't know shit about football until it hits, like, Saturday. I'm like, all right, I got to see what's going on. Because the NBA is just every fucking night. But it's awesome. It's awesome. I'm glad to have it back, but it is a little bit weird. Because normally I'd be, like, diving into some football for this week already. I couldn't tell you a single team playing this weekend. All I know is half of my team's on bye in most of my leagues.
Yeah, there is actually a lot of stuff going on in sports because you got the ALCS, NLCS.
True, didn't even say baseball. I watched the Red Sox game last night. Wild. Too. Brutal, brutal ninth inning. Red Sox gave up 7 runs in the ninth inning.
Yeah, you want to know what's even more wild about that? The over-under on that, I was talking about a little bit earlier, the over-under on that was 10.5 runs, and it was locked to hit the under for, like, the entire game, obviously, until that happened in the ninth. And I'm thinking to myself, that's one of these wild things about sports betting for me. Because I'm watching the game last night, showed you my ticket. Bucks took care of the Nets pretty easily, bro. You know,
I fucked up the Lakers one. All my Bucks bets looked good, but I parlayed it with Lakers stuff, and the Lakers,
Yeah. I mean, what do you – if you had to – talk about one thing that you saw from last night in terms of, like, all four teams that played. Like, this is, like, this is the biggest thing that, you know, I think I want to bring up today. Like, what would it be for you?
I think Giannis. Giannis just looks better. And, like, he's already at the top of his game. Like, there's only a few people we've seen in our lifetime, and it's tough examples. Like, I don't want to leave out Steph Curry, but, like, freaks of nature athletically where it's like, holy shit, they're dominating the game. Like, I've seen Steph, I've seen Harden dominate a game, but it's different when you're, like, that big-bodied wing dude, like, running down the floor, doing it on defense, doing it on offense. Like, yeah. I don't mean any just disrespect to any, like, Michael Jordan, like, who was a great defender. Like, Steph, those guys. But, like, LeBron's maybe the only other dude where sometimes I've watched him and I get that feeling watching Giannis, like, back in the day, like, holy shit, this dude is way better than everyone on the court. And it's like, he was on the court with Durant last night. I'm not saying he's that much better than Durant, but, like, the way he can control the game on defense too for portions of the game and then run the floor, and now he's hitting some little baby jump shots too.
Like, I need to say something.
All I'm saying is, you asked the question maybe like 2-3 weeks ago on here, like, who's the best player, and I didn't give you a direct answer. I was basically like, you could tell me it's Durant, it's LeBron, it's Giannis.
I think,
like,
it's Giannis.
I'm not going to argue you.
I think it's Giannis.
I feel pretty confident that it's Giannis.
The same way. I still think LeBron is right there. I think he's probably 2. Durant, I'd probably have at 3 if we were going to go and rate those guys. But I do think Giannis is number 1. You go and look at his resume, bro, and we were talking a ton about Giannis and what he did with his postseason run last year, you know, through the pod while we were doing it. I mean, dude was incredible on that playoff run, 50 points in the final. I mean, some of the stuff he was doing in the finals, averaging 30 and whatever he was averaging, 30, 11, and 5 or 6 with a block and a steal. He's a champ, finals MVP, 2-time MVP, defensive player of the year. He's the only player, or he's like only the third player to be a MVP and a defensive player of the year in the same year. Most improved player as well. 5-time All-Star, 5-time All-NBA, 4 all. He's only 26 years old, bro. He's got the largest contract ever, top 75 player ever, some will argue, second best PF power forward. I mean, there's some serious stuff going with what you're saying. So, yeah, it's an interesting one. You know what I'm saying? I'll say what I said, which my biggest takeaway is the Nets need Kyrie if they're gonna win a championship. But I was saying this about Giannis. I'll let you respond to that, and I will say this about Giannis. Let you respond to this as well. I was saying about Giannis, and I've said this to you before about to you on the pod, which is like, yo, if Giannis can get a jump shot or even like make free throws consistently, like, he will by far and away be the best player in the NBA. Because if you go and look, and if I asked you, if I were to ask you right now, who's the most dominant paint player in the NBA, who are you going to say? Giannis, right? Like, who's the most dominant paint player in the NBA right now if I had asked you?
It's Embiid or Giannis, probably Giannis.
Okay, he's at least in the conversation. Yeah. So if he can at least develop some type of shot with that, like, and be somewhat consistent with a shot and make his free throws, I don't know, 75% clip, to me this dude's unstoppable and, like, the best player in the game. I bring that a little bit on the other side where I was talking a little bit about this with Lamar Jackson, where now I'm seeing Lamar Jackson, like, throw a lot more and, like, produce a lot more with his arm, and he's already the best running quarterback I think I've ever seen. Like, I remember watching a little Michael Vick. I think the dude's an absolute cheat code. Like, Is that what's happening now with not only maybe Lamar, but like with Giannis? Like, is Giannis literally about to do the shit that I could only imagine? And it's basically like run the league here for like the next few years. You've talked about it on my pod, and I'm sitting here trying to say, nah, I don't know. Dude, I don't know, man. I'm watching, and with Middleton and all these guys back, Budenholzer, 3-year extension, like, I don't think anyone's beating them in the East. And if anyone is, I think it's the Heat. It's not the Nets, unless they have Kyrie. Go ahead.
I'm not going to go that far yet. I think the Bucks are the favorites. We did our rankings. Like, we both had the Bucks as the top team finishing in the East. So we're on the same page there. But I will take into account the score in a lot of NBA games is closer than it looks at the end. Usually the last 2 minutes, whatever team that's winning just starts blowing the other team out by more. Like, the Bucks ended up winning by 23 last night.
Yeah, well, because Steve Nash pulled the whole team.
100%. It was,
and I still question a lot of this stuff with Steve Nash, and the only thing I'd ask you is you have Nets in the number 2 slot, and I have the Nets in the 4 slot, because I don't think the Nets are going to be the number 2 team in the East.
I will hear your argument for the Heat being a better team than them in the regular season. I don't see it with the Sixers. I don't see it at all. Just from what the Nets did last year, keep in mind, they had a stretch of, what, 20 games where it was only James Harden. They had a stretch of 15 games where it was only Kevin Durant. They finished as the 2 seed in the East. Obviously, anything could happen. One of those guys goes down, you're in a little bit of trouble. But with two of those guys there, I still think they're, by a good bit, the second-best team in the East. And I'll just say this. Like, it's too early. We watched one game. I don't know who I'd pick if it was like the conference finals, Nets versus Bucks right now. I guess like after last night, sure, recency bias, maybe I'd pick Bucks. They looked really good. But also, let's keep in mind, the Bucks had almost no turnover in their roster, just won a championship. The Nets had brought in a good amount of new pieces, and Patty Mills, Aldridge, Millsap, guys are running out there a good amount, and they played a pretty good game. They fell behind. Like, yeah, you could use the argument that like Drew Holiday wasn't even out there, and the Bucks were still close. I'm with you. I thought the Bucks looked amazing. Right now, the Bucks would be the team to beat in the NBA. They're the championship or the champions. They looked amazing on the first night. I just don't think it's some like, oh God, how's anyone going to beat them? Because the Nets last year almost beat them without Kyrie Irving and with James Harden hobbling up and down the court being like half a basketball player out there. So, like, I'm not going to say the Nets can't beat them when they're integrating some new pieces. And last we saw them last year, they made a pretty good run. They were a Durant quarter inch of a shoe away from beating them without Kyrie and with a hobbled James Harden. So all I'm saying is I'm not going to say it's not possible.
But you want to know, I'd hear a lot of Patriots fans say to me that the Patriots are this close of a finger catch away from another Super Bowl and this coach of a sack away from, like, that happens in all sports. My only point is watching the Nets and the Bucks last night, and I'm not overreacting, it's just one game, I get it. I just think that without Kyrie Irving, and I'm still hoping he gets back, I don't know if he will. Like, well, let's just still keep that on the record here. If he doesn't play, somewhat of a sample size without him. And I'd argue that we've only seen KD and Harden kind of, I think they played 7 games together. I saw Kyrie and Harden play together, and Harden was looking like the best player in the NBA. You were telling me he was the MVP. I saw Harden go down a little bit with a hamstring, and he was playing when KD came back, and I saw them cooking. I think Kyrie's the main ingredient that they need, and I'd also argue,
he's the third best out of those three.
That's fine, but I'm not saying that he doesn't need them in order to be better. Those two need to be better. Like, James Harden last night, I'm watching, bro, he didn't look, you're telling me he looked great? I don't know about that. He had a stretch in the second quarter where he hit a couple threes, and I'm like, okay, like, decent, but like,
yeah, he had a good stretch.
I don't know, like, 20 points, like, if, my point, all I'm hearing is like he should have been doing more without Kyrie Irving on the court. Like,
probably.
And I go and look at what Patty Mills did last night. What else do you want Patty Mills to do? We talked about him being on the team. I go look at the rest of the team and I'm like, they don't got enough, bro. Blake Griffin, bringing back LaMarcus Aldridge, bringing in Paul Millsap. That ain't it, though. That ain't it. And I know they're going up. You're telling me the Bucks, which is like, all right, they could be the best team in the NBA. Fine. But like, there's some good teams in the East. There's some good teams in the West. How many games are the Brooklyn Nets, you know, going to just be able to just run through bad teams? I don't think there's as many, quote-unquote, bad teams in the NBA. Anybody can win on any given night. I think it's going to be tougher than you think for the Nets.
Well, that's the thing.
Particularly without Kyrie.
We just watched them lose by, like, what? If we're counting, what was it, like an 11-point game when Nash pulled the starters, like a 12-point game or something like that? Like, I'll say they lost by, like, whatever, 10 to 15 points.
Fine,
but
like if that's the case, my argument is, where's Harden at then? Like, if he's gonna have to be that guy.
Okay, look, It's one game of the season. I hear you. If Kyrie's not going to be there, you need Harden to score more than 20 points. Absolutely. I promise you Harden will average over 25 points. There's no way he doesn't. If he's averaging under 25 points, then you better hope Patty Mills is scoring 20 every single night, because you're going to need that, which isn't going to happen. There are a few things that will go a lot better than they went last night. LaMarcus Aldridge, wow. He looked terrible.
Yep. Like,
terrible.
Absolutely. I was on the money with this, awful. Dude. Blake Griffin, not looking good out there.
Blake Griffin.
Nah, not looking good out there. Nah.
Blake Griffin, I'm not as worried about. He's okay. Moving around a little bit. Claxton did not look good either. Their front court depth is tough. Like, they're going to need to figure something out. Like, you're not missing DeAndre Jordan. I don't know why the Lakers are even starting him. That's a whole nother thing. But, like, you're going to need something.
All right.
You're going to need Claxton to develop more. But, like, there are a few things. Last thing I'll say is, like, you had Joe Harris not shoot well. You had LaMarcus Aldridge being a liability out there. So, like, James Harden only scored 20. Like, there are things that'll go better than that other nights.
I was listening to the show the other day. It was Nets or the field to win the East. You know, I got the field. When they're asking Lakers or the field to win the West, I got the Lakers. You know, I know the Lakers lost the game last night. They're winning all the way through three quarters. Everyone's slandering Russ. I'm like, Russ will get it together. I've seen this act before with Russ coming to a new team and then getting right. A lot of people say it, oh, well, he can't shoot, whatever. Dude, they'll figure it out. These guys were missing shots last night. They could have still won that game. Steph Curry, I get, was not playing well. He had, like, what, 5 of 21? He still had a triple-double, I saw, but 5 of 21, that's not Steph Curry shooting like, and you still lose that game. That's a concern to me on the defensive side of the ball when you're preaching defense over shooting. You've talked about it here before on the podcast with me. But I still have more faith in the Lakers come playoff time and getting through the West than I do right now the Nets. So I would take the Lakers in the West over the field, the field in the Nets over the East. How you feeling about those? Like, if I were to ask you right now, after what we saw last night, you have more concern with the Nets and them getting to the finals or the Lakers and them getting into the finals? I get it's just one game, but like...
I mean, yeah, it's just one game, but if we're doing overreaction, I'd say the Lakers.
Really?
Now, look, there's two sides of this.
Okay.
One, if you're going to argue their path there, I get the Lakers being, or the Nets having a harder time, because there's a clear team in the Nets conference that we just talked about that we both just said we think is better than them. So from that standpoint, sure, the Nets have to go through a harder team.
Sure.
If we're just focusing on looking at what we saw last
You did have night, the Lakers fourth in the West in your standings, though. So, I mean, it's a hard path for them, too.
My thing for the Lakers was never any LeBron James team. I don't care how the regular season looks unless you're coming in, like, scratching for a playoff spot. Like, if you're sitting in the 3-6 range, whatever. Who cares? You're built for the playoffs. That's fine. My concern is still with this team going to be, once they get to the playoffs, do they have it figured out by then? Because, again, we're overreacting on this piece. That's what we're doing right here. But I said before the game, and it went true for the game for months, and it came true last night, it's like, where is the spacing? Where's the spacing? Is LeBron James your guy? And that's what it proved last night. Is LeBron James your floor spacer, Carmelo Anthony? That's fine. They're decent shooters, but, like, they can't be the shooter that's spacing the floor. And, like, you could say, I like Russell Westbrook. This is not a knock on Russell Westbrook. You could say whatever you want. Like, he's a great player. People knock him too much. He'll figure it out. Sure to all of those things. But, like, not if the pieces aren't on the team for them to figure it out. So, like, I don't know who the piece on the team is unless Malik Monk ends up, like, playing great this year. Kendrick Nunn ends up playing great this year. Rondo and DeAndre Jordan should not be on the floor with Russell Westbrook. That is, I don't even understand that one bit. If you're putting Russell Westbrook on the floor, you need to maximize your shooting around him. Rondo and DeAndre Jordan together out there on the floor with Russell Westbrook is mind-blowing at times. That is an awful move.
Yeah.
Anyone who knows a single thing about basketball would be like, hey, coach, three non-shooters out there. I don't know. Maybe pull one of the playmakers.
Yeah, dude. They'll figure it out. Like, dude, I said this was going to take a minute for them to figure it out.
Here's my question. What? If they are last 6 minutes of a game in, like, whatever, the finals, the game seven in the playoffs, what's your lineup that you're going to? Because in my mind right now, and you can tell me what you think would be different, you have to have Russell Westbrook out there. You have to have LeBron James. You have to have Anthony Davis. And then you need two more shooters. So who are your guys? Do you have Melo out there? Do you have Malik Monk out there? Do you I just, it's not a, I don't have five guys I could trust out there. And that's one of the most important things in the NBA come playoff time. And it's really early. It's one game in. I'm just saying, like, I don't know who those guys are going to be on their roster that you trust to shoot and defend.
They claim Avery Bradley off waivers. I saw him get in the game last night. I think that's a good move. He's a 3-and-D type guy. I think Malik Monk will be able to shoot the ball and play some D once he gets his feet wet. Kendrick Nunn the same. I think Russell Westbrook will shoot the ball better than he did last night, even though he's not known to be a shooter. Russell Westbrook will play better than he did last night. They only lost the game by 7 points. They're going to win basketball games in the regular season. It'll kind of come down to what you were talking about, what it'll be like health-wise for them come postseason. And if they're healthy, and if you make some moves, and if you have some depth, I think they have not only more talent on their team, but more depth and more of a roster than I go and then when I look at the Brooklyn Nets. Particularly
they
without Kyrie Irving.
The roster. I just don't like the fit of their pieces together. And they have the star power, Anthony Davis and LeBron, amazing. Russell Westbrook, still great. I just, when you put those other pieces in with Anthony, and it's the reason I thought they should have traded for Buddy Hield over Russell Westbrook. I don't think Buddy Hield's a better player than Russell Westbrook. No, obviously not. But, like, fit on that team, I thought he was. But we'll see.
Yeah, but then, like, that's where I've been hearing that. I was hearing that shit today, too. I've been listening to Skip fucking shit on Russ. It's like, bro, listen. Buddy Hield, yeah, he's a better shooter and is probably a better fit for the Lakers. But then what? You got Rondo playing 35 minutes a night at point guard? LeBron playing 40 minutes a night? Like, the Lakers had a gap at guard. They went and decided to get Russell Westbrook. It will take some time for him to get incorporated to the team. And when it does, I think the Lakers will look just fine. I'm more worried about the Nets looking, quote-unquote, just fine, depending on what happens with Kyrie Irving. Like, I think that's a legitimate thing that needs to be talked about. Like, if he doesn't play this year, I do think that's a big loss, and the Nets are just not clear favorites at all to get into the finals. I think that's a major...
It's tough to pick a clear favorite right now. If you want to say the Bucks, I hear you, but I couldn't get behind anyone saying the Nets or the Lakers are a clear favorite right now, because I think that's an absolute stretch.
All right, well, I did these standings to put up against yours, and listen, I wanted to go through these a little bit, and then, I don't know, I'll probably get out of here soon, because I've been doing this for a minute, but maybe we'll touch some games tonight and then go. You went Bucks, Nets, Celtics, Heat, first four in the green. I went Bucks, Heat, Sixers, Nets. Because I do think the Nets are going to struggle to win some games. I do think if Kyrie Irving comes back, then I deserve the right to be able to change this. But until then, I do think the Nets are going to struggle to win games up against stronger competition. I do think there's stronger competition in the NBA. You don't think the Heat are legit? You don't think they can have a chance to challenge for the number one seed, challenge the Nets for a two seed? You don't think the Sixers, and you got to give me some credit here, what's going on with Ben Simmons? I mean, this is wild what's going on with Ben Simmons. What is going on? Like, why is he there, bro? What are they doing? Like, I told you this.
Get paid.
Yeah, but dude, you're not getting paid if you're not at practice or playing in games.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, if he's trying to, he's going to get paid.
No, he's not. No, he's not.
If he had to report to get paid, So first off, he was getting fined for not reporting.
Yeah.
So he had to show up to not continue getting fined to not report.
Well, then he just got suspended for a game, not getting paid for that. You just got sent home from practice, not getting paid for that.
Maybe he doesn't get paid for the game, but I'm pretty sure he's getting paid right now. You had to report to camp. If the team tells you to go home from practice, they're not taking money out of your paycheck because you went home from practice. But they did say, I did see a quote from Doc Rivers saying, like, he's not ready. He's not in the right headspace. He's not in, like, ready to play ball right now. So to me, when I saw he got kicked out of practice, I was like, oh, he's not playing another game for the Sixers. They're kicking him out of practice. But then when Doc Rivers says, like, he's not ready yet, I'm like, so do you want him to play a game in the future? But I'm assuming Ben Simmons isn't playing with the Sixers until we hear anything of further notice. Kicking a guy out of practice is pretty serious. So I don't know there. My thing with the Sixers and the whole rankings, really, and it goes into the West side, why I have the Jazz so high, why I have the Nuggets so high. When it comes to regular season rankings, I'm going to trust the teams that, one, have stuff to prove in the regular season. So it's the teams that haven't won yet, the teams that haven't, like, won championships yet, usually. The LeBron teams I'll usually count falling a little further down. And it's the teams that have been together for a while. The Heat are kind of like in the middle of that line because, yeah, they have some new pieces, Lowry, Oladipo, but for the most part, they have been together a while. So that's why I had the Heat a little lower, just the Nets, Bucks been together for a little bit, Celtics been together for a little bit, but I guess the Heat have too. Like, again, I'm...
Yeah, you have the Sixers in the five, which I have the Bulls in the five. You have the Bulls in the eight.
Oh, yeah, Celtics Heat. Celtics Heat I had. Yeah, Sixers. Yeah, Sixers I don't trust at all this year. If you can't trade Ben Simmons soon, say whatever you want about Ben Simmons. You're out a top two defender, a top 5-10 playmaker with nothing in return. Nothing in return. Say whatever you want about him. You're a good team when you have something in return for him. You're missing a big piece of what you plan to have for your defensive game and for your playmaking as a team without him there. So
here's where I'll push back on you just a little bit. I agree. I've been not as high on Ben Simmons, but I think Ben Simmons is a good NBA player and can contribute to an NBA team. Here's where I'll push back on what you're saying. If Ben Simmons doesn't want to be there, like, I just went through this situation, bro. If you don't want to be at some place and, like, it starts rubbing the other way, like, they don't really want you at the place because, like, they're set, like, it rubs off a little bit. It just doesn't work out, dog. Like,
yeah.
I think the Sixers, and I'm listening to Joel Embiid, they can maybe just have better chemistry, kind of like what the Nets are hoping for. The fact that they don't want Kyrie for away games, which I think he could have helped you in the away game last night by not allowing him to be in the chemistry build of the team because he's not always there. Ben Simmons is so checked out, he's not even in the huddle, bro. He's so checked out, he's got a cell phone in his pocket. He don't want to be there. So if he don't want to be there and they don't want him there, to me that's hurting the team. Him being on the sideline is hurting the team. Him being at practice is hurting the team. He should not be there. But what?
We're talking in comparison to last year. I'm saying I think they're going to be worse than how they were when they were operating at full function with him. I agree with you. If he came back this year, it wouldn't be good for them. It would probably be weird. He would feel weird being there. They wouldn't want him.
Sure, bro, but they could have been functioning that way. They were functioning the regular season and the postseason, but they weren't, and it was mainly because of Ben Simmons.
It's like, my only point is, I think they will be a worse regular season team than last year. Because Fair. In the regular season last year,
you had Ben Simmons,
one of the best defenders in the league and a good playmaker. Fair. And now they have that and no replacement for it. I agree with everything you're saying, that if you put him on the team right now, they're probably better off without him. I'm just saying they're worse than last year because they are without him with no replacement.
Yeah, that's fair. But I do think... You got to see what they got. You got to wait and see. The Sixers could very... They were the best record in the East last year. They could very well take a step back. But I do think Joel Embiid's an elite MVP caliber talent in this league. And without Ben Simmons there, without Ben Simmons playing, maybe he takes even more of a leap. And if he could stay healthy, I think he could be up there in this conversation just like he was last year. And then you got to have some more pieces step up. Maxey, Tobias Harris, they got some pieces there. And I think
my flip side of that is we've asked Tobias Harris to step up and haven't seen it. Sure, Joel Embiid can maybe take a step, but he's already like an MVP candidate. There's only so much of a step you can take. And at that point, you're saying Maxey, who I love, I think he's going to take a big step up, but he's not on the defensive end. He's a tiny little dude out there. So it's like, who are you bringing in that's bringing what Ben Simmons was bringing to the table is my concern. And I don't think that's there. So we'll see. They could be fine come playoff time because they make a trade. They bring in like a Beal, a Lillard, whoever it is. They're looking a lot better. But I'm just concerned about them in the regular season and where they end up in the standings if they're just short in all NBA type talent.
Fair. Damian Lillard of the field, first 50-point game in the NBA.
Well, the field, 100% on that. You just got to take the field. I'll take someone else to get the first 50-point game. But if you're saying, who would I pick to get it overall? Yeah, Dame's one of those, like, top two guys there. You think past years, you'd think Harden, but not on that team, probably. Maybe, actually, you know, I'd probably go Durant would be my pick. Because Harden's been doing a lot more playmaking. We see him shooting less than he had in the past. No one else there to score the ball, really, without Kyrie there. I think Lillard's a good pick, but I'll go Durant.
All right, I got Lillard first 50-point game. Embiid
could be a good.
I saw Cade's out tonight. Cade or the field rookie of the year. We talked about this a little bit. I think there's so many good young rookies, bro. So I think it's wild to think that there's not going to be some guy that comes out of nowhere that gets into this conversation that isn't named Jalen Green, Cade Cunningham, and even Evan Mobley, Scotty Barnes. I mean, there's some other guys. That I think will be playing some serious minutes. I think it's you know, going to be concerning to see how long Cade's out. And just because of that, not starting out the season with how he could look, we'll see. But we'll see when he gets back. I think there's going to be a lot of good young rookie talent, bro.
Yeah, there's a bunch of people out there. I'd probably go with Jalen Green. But then again, they have Porter Jr., they have Christian Wood, they got some guys there in Houston. So you're usually with the rookie of the year just trying to say, like, who's got the easiest path to usage. So Suggs could be a good one in Orlando just because they have a tough roster overall. Yeah, it's probably one of those three guys, Suggs, Jalen Green, or Cade Cunningham, I would say. It could be Mobley, but he's also got, like, Jared Allen, Kevin Love, Lauri Markkanen in there in the front court with him, so I wouldn't pick Mobley personally.
Yeah. Yeah, dude, there's 6 games tonight. You like anything tonight? You got the Knicks taking out the Celtics, or what? You going to put money on that?
No, not on the Knicks game. I think that one doesn't surprise me to go either way. I threw some stuff in. I had a parlay going for the games last night and the games today, but that got fucked up from the Lakers game, so I'll probably throw the same parlay back in just without that Lakers game in there. Who do I like today? I'm pulling it up now. I like the Blazers on the spread. It's about 6, I believe. They're at home against the Kings.
You like the Hornets -3 at the Pacers? That's the only one I'm worried about right now.
I didn't touch that one. A lot of like the pick'em games where I could just see either team winning, which is a lot in the NBA. Anything could happen, but I just stay away from them. I went to the Timberwolves over. I don't remember who they're playing right now. I'm trying to go see who the Timberwolves playing. Rockets. Timberwolves over the Rockets. All right, I just got it up here. My bets. So tonight I threw one parlay, and this is just a bunch of random things of things I like. Domantas Sabonis over 20 points, Fred VanVleet over 19.5, Darius Garland over 16.5, Portland Trailblazers to win the game, and then D'Angelo Russell and Sadiq Bey both not to get a triple double. So 6 random things parlayed, threw in $10, payouts like 130 on that. Felt like they were all safe ones. I mean, the odds are against you anytime you're parlaying 6 things together, but felt pretty safe with all of those.
That's fair. I hit a baseball parlay last night. It was pretty sick.
Yeah, I've only done the basketball one so far. So yeah. I had a six.
All right, I got the Bulls. This is my FanDuel ticket. I got the Bulls -2.5. I got Charlotte -3. That's the one I'm worried about. LeVert's not playing, right? That's why I took it. Is LeVert playing?
Yeah, LeVert's not playing for probably the first few games.
All right. I have the Grizzlies -8 at the Cavs. Can the Cavs cover that? I think the Grizzlies are going to be legit. I got the Grizzlies up in that. We were speaking of the rankings. I got the Grizzlies up. I think I was 6 in that. I got the Grizzlies making a step this year. Jaren Jackson Jr.
Dylan Brooks is out for like the first month.
But is he?
I think that's a fair bet. So all of mine were money line. So just not against the spread.
I like money line too. Yeah, money line's the way to go for real. I like that. The way you sent that, I like that. Yeah.
I did the spread for the Blazers because I'm confident in that. They're -5. So I took the spread on the Blazers. I took money line on the Jazz against the Thunder, which duh. Money line on the Timberwolves against the Rockets. Money line on the Bulls against the Pistons.
Thunder, no shot to win the game, Rich. Come on, bro. The
spread on that's, I think, like 12.5 or like somewhere between 13 to 15.
Yeah, I saw that. That's a big NBA spread.
I think they get smoked. And I mean, I'll never bet on a 14-point NBA spread for them to cover, but I'll bet the money line for them to win, even though it doesn't add much. Like, if you're betting that straight up, it's getting you nothing because Vegas is like, yeah, duh. But if you parlay it in a few things, helps boost the odds a little bit.
Yeah, for sure. I had a couple parlays, missed out last night. I had a couple first bucket ones, which kind of sucked. I had like James Harden for the first bucket, and he threw that lob to Claxton.
Mm-hmm.
I had the Bucks and the Lakers parlayed together, so that didn't work, obviously, because the Lakers cucked it. I did have that baseball hit
on both, and the total and the over on the over under on both, and 3 out of 4 hit, but I was wrong on the Lakers spread.
Damn.
Yeah, I'll probably stick to just doing like some parlays and stuff like that. I'm excited to do DraftKings tonight. A bunch of games. Pricing's all weird. It's going to be a shit show. I'll probably get destroyed. And I actually survived DraftKings last night with a Bruce Brown three-pointer and a Russell Westbrook whatever, because I had Nemanja Bjelica get like 38 DraftKings points at like the minimum price, and Jordan Nwora at the minimum go off too.
Yeah, I saw that.
Jordan Nwora, he was nice in the Olympics. He's looking like he could be a nice little piece for the Bucks. I don't know if he'll play much when DiVincenzo's back, though.
Yeah. I definitely saw that. You watching the baseball Sox game in like an hour?
Yeah, I turned it on like halftime of the Lakers game. So it was like the eighth inning. So saw one decent inning, then saw the Sox get like fucking mauled in the ninth inning.
See, that's what I hate about baseball, bro, because the games are so long. Like, I was pretty much watching, like, most of that game, and then, like,
I don't tune in until I get the alert that the Red Sox are in the seventh inning, because I have, like, an ESPN seventh inning alert set for the Red Sox, and then I'll be like, all right, let's see what's good.
Jesus Christ.
I don't care that much, especially if there's NBA on. Like, I can literally watch three NBA games, and the baseball game will still be on.
Yep, literally. Yeah, I'll be watching the games, playing some games.
Times we got, who opens it off? Pacers, Hornets.
Knicks, yeah, the baseball Celtics, game starts in an hour. That's what I do is think is kind of sick, because normally I'm just like sitting around for NBA, which is annoying. I'm like, fuck. Or like sitting around for NFL, which is annoying. Starts at like 8:30. I'm like, fuck. Nope.
Yeah.
Got baseball cranking up in an hour. I got to let my dog out. I got to post the pod. So then I'll be watching NBA, playing NBA.
Knicks, Celtics at 7:30. Not a lot of good games tonight, honestly. Really the only like good game on the schedule besides the Knicks, Celtics.
Yeah, I'm watching Knicks, Celtics for sure.
Nuggets, Suns at 10 o'clock is the only other good one on there.
Yeah, I'm watching that too. The rest are all like,
I honestly don't even see a single other like.
I got Will Barton plus 1,000 for the first bucket tonight. $5.
The first bucket ones, those are wild ones. I can't do that.
They're great, like that. Dude. It's so good because this is the thing. The game tips off and you're just like I'm sitting there with my brother. I'm like, yeah, we're just watching it. And then it's like, no. And then the game starts. Literally, that's how it's great, dude. It is so fucking great. You got to try one. Just throw five, and you just gotta find. Dude, trust me, Nicholas Claxton's odds to win first bucket was like plus 2,000, bro. You throw five on that? It's a fucking, that's a good bet. That's a good fucking bet. Tell me that's not a good bet.
Yeah.
If you can hit one of those a night, at plus 1,000, you're...
Yeah, but if you want to hit one of those a night, you have to put a shitload in, which means you're losing a bunch a night, too. You can't just hit that at one a night. I'll put one in and hit it every night.
Yeah, no, I'm just saying, just put one in. If you hit it, good. If you don't, not. Don't put in a bunch.
Part is like when I think about it for Knicks Celtics, and I'm like, all right, who would be the guy?
I got Kemba.
The most obvious guy for me would be Jason Tatum, because Jaylen Brown's questionable. Number one scoring option on his team. Knicks, a bunch of guys that could score. So my first thought is I'd pick Jason Tatum.
Yeah, but this is what's funny about this.
He has the worst odds for it because everyone would think that. And then I'm going to like, bro, I don't want to pick Mitchell Robinson to have the first bucket in the fucking Knicks game.
Yeah, but like he's got plus 900 odds. This is pretty decent. Like the I've seen a couple lot. Like
three times in the whole game.
gets a putback bucket. You know,
I hear you. I'm
giving you good beats right now. I got Kemba plus 800. Like, it all depends, too. It ain't Jason Tatum. Yeah, at the end of the game, I'll cook him up. By the way, Jason Tatum's looking huge, by the way. Do you see how big he's looking? Oh, my God, bro. Compared to his, like, I sent you that in the chat. Oh, my God. I'm worried about that if I'm a Knicks fan tonight. Like, damn, Jason Tatum could go for 50 tonight.
Jason Tatum could cook us, especially if what's his face isn't playing. Jaylen Brown questionable. Trying to look right now if there were any.
What the hell's good with Jaylen Brown? All right, I'm about to clip this recording now. All right, we'll see you next time here on the Saggy Station. I'll come back through, hopefully pot up here soon, catch up on some sports. Till then, keep it G and enjoy them sports. Peace and love, Saggy Station.